Hi, everyone, and welcome to Women on the Edge of Evolution, Awakening Our Power to Co-Create Our Lives and Shape Our Collective Future. My name is Paula Dowd, and I'm the Program Director of Feminine Power Global Community, the organization producing this event. I am delighted to welcome you to part 29 in our series today, featuring honored guest Amy Ehlers on the topic, Waking Up to Your Deeper Wisdom and Cultivating the Courage to Act on It. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to thank all of you for your active participation in this dialogue, both live on the teleseminar last week and also on our Facebook group. We continue to be inspired by the incredible support and enthusiasm that is coming in from all corners of the globe. As of this week, we have over 8,000 members on our Facebook group, where people from all around the world are engaging each other in dialogue. If you haven't yet jumped into the conversation and would like to connect with other women who are participating in the series, we encourage you to join us. You can find links to our Facebook community in the confirmation email we sent you for today's call. We also want to thank our co-sponsors for all of their support in making this possible for us. If you are joining us for the first time today, the way the call will work is that I will introduce Claire Zammit, who is one of the two visionary women behind this groundbreaking series, and then she will introduce Amy and today's call topic and process. Claire is the co-creator with Catherine Woodward Thomas of our Feminine Power Transformative Courses designed just for women. Together, they co-lead a global learning community dedicated to empowering women to realize their highest potentials and make their greatest contribution. Claire is a transformative educator, a speaker, and a writer. She has a gift and a passion for designing and delivering content that gives access to life-altering paradigm shifts. Her work emphasizes the relationship between personal and social transformation and the power of creating learning communities that support insights and intentions in a way that they become lasting change. Claire is currently completing her doctorate in the field of transformative learning and change at the California Institute of Integral Studies, and she's researching the life-changing transformations of women in our year-long Feminine Power Mastery Program. She is also the co-author of the upcoming book, Feminine Power, Awakening to the Creative Force of Life. So welcome, Claire, and I know I speak for all of us when I say how much we are looking forward to your dialogue with Amy today.
Thank you so much, Paula, and good morning, everyone. Really thrilled to be back with you. Catherine's been hosting the last few dialogues. We had Melissa Etheridge on. If you haven't had listened to that audio, you can download it now in the archives. It was such a fantastic and inspiring conversation, but it's an absolute delight to be back with you. I'm going to be hosting the next couple of dialogues coming up. So I look forward to being with you all for the next couple of weeks. And if you've just joined us, one of the features I just want to point out at the beginning of the call is at the end of the Q&A session, that's at 12:30 Pacific time today, we'll be hosting our Evolutionary Women's Cafe. We host a half an hour online cafe at the end of all of our dialogues to give you an opportunity to connect and to engage in discussion with women from all over the world who are listening to the series. You'll need to register and dial in separately to participate in that. It's all free. You can just click on the link in the email confirmation you received for this call today to register and get your PIN and be able to join us at 12:30 for that. So the way the call is going to work today is I'll be here in dialogue with Amy, and we'll be engaging questions at the end. So if you're listening online, you can enter in questions into the webcast Q&A section as we go. And if you're listening on the phone, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions live, but I'll be giving you instructions about that as we go through the call. But I'm absolutely thrilled to be here today with the Wake Up Call coach and women's empowerment expert, Amy Ehlers, to engage our topic, Waking Up to Your Deeper Wisdom and Cultivating the Courage to Act on It. Very important, those two things together. In the time of significant cultural and evolutionary change, women everywhere are sensing that the survival of our species may depend on our ability as women to step up in an unprecedented challenge of self-actualization and global transformation and leadership. For the first time in history, women have gained the freedom, the access to abundance, to step wholeheartedly into the sacred and urgent task of midwifing our creative contributions into a world that's in desperate need of our gifts. Despite the deep potentials we all sense for our lives and the planet, we as women, even the most evolved and evolutionary and spiritual women amongst us, We find ourselves being held back by exhaustion, overwhelm, and a brutal inner self-criticism that we're not enough, that we're not being enough, that we're not doing enough, that we don't have enough. And because of our understanding of the power being modeled to us inside this more masculine paradigm that emphasizes doing and achieving over being and becoming, we often feel depleted of energy and disconnected from our deeper source of feminine wisdom and intuition in the way we've been accessing power in our world, leaving us unable to access the kind of co-creative power that's necessary to step into this highest calling that's now upon us. Amy Ehlers has dedicated her life to helping women wake up from their own voices of inner criticism and self-abandonment so as to connect with their own organic wisdom and find the courage to live their most creative and successful lives. Amy is an international certified success coach, the CEO of Wake Up Call Coaching, the director of Maestro Path, the co-creator of Inner Mean Girl Reform School, and the creator of the Women Masters Tally Series, where she speaks alongside luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Sark, Lisa Nichols, Marcy Shermoff, Peggy McColl, and many, many more. Amy is an exceptionally energetic, positive, and outgoing woman. Her unique enthusiasm and energy has attracted a large international following. She's been featured on ABC's View from the Bay, in the Washington Post, the Oakland Tribune, and many radio stations, including KKVZ and KVTA. And she's also garnered attention from TV networks such as TLC and Fox. She's a sought-after speaker and expert who's coached a wide array of clients, from artists to lawyers to corporate owners, enabling them to reach greater levels of success. Under the guidance of Amy's coaching, clients have formulated and launched businesses, manifested their dream jobs, tripled their incomes, written and published books and stories, and created fulfilling romantic relationships and achieved an overall great sense of personal and professional satisfaction. And what I particularly love and appreciate about Amy is her profound love for people, especially her dedication and commitment to the community of women that she serves. You always have this experience with Amy that she's right there with you, holding your hand by your side, extending a profound field of support and care and cheering you on, which for most of us is what we really need to evolve in the biggest ways. And she also has an extraordinary ability to see the highest potentials of people and relate to them in a way that draws that forth just in her beingness and her presence. So I couldn't imagine anyone that I'd be more thrilled here today to engage our topic with on waking up to your deeper wisdom and cultivating the courage to act on it. Welcome, Amy, to Women on the Edge of Evolution.
Oh, what a complete joy and honor, Claire. What an I'm blushing over here from what a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much, and I just love and adore you and just deeply appreciate you in my life, and I'm completely honored and overjoyed to be here.
Wonderful. Well, such an important conversation today.
Indeed.
So many of us really have this yearning to find our voice, to contribute our gifts to the world in the biggest way. Very, very concerned about what's actually happening for the planet, for the future of our children, whether they're biological children or the generations to come. And often we find the biggest obstacle to being able to step up and participate and contribute our gifts and create the future not only of our lives but of our world has to do with what you've pointed to as the inner criticism and self-judgment that's absolutely debilitating. So I'm wondering if you've really been, you know, you've gone into this for so many years and worked with so many women on this particular issue. I'm wondering if you can share with us, just give us an overview, you know, why are we so hard on ourselves? And what's the pathway? What hope is there on horizon, horizon for us to break free so we can really show up and meet the calling that we're all feeling?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that I really want to say about this, and I was really astonished by this, Claire, when I began coaching 10 years ago, because I thought, you know, I'd have a client, a woman who, you know, had it all, so to speak. You know, she was beautiful, she was thin, she had a great car, she had an awesome husband, amazing kids, a great career, and I would think, okay, great. So I'm going to coach this woman. You know, she's coming to me for some reason. I can't figure out why because she has it all. And then, you know, behind the veil, she's being really hard on herself.
And so that's the thing that I really want every woman on this call to get, is that the external circumstances, the things that you are seeing, that, you know, the outside view, every woman, no matter how successful she is, no matter how thin, no matter how gorgeous, no matter how much she has, on some level is being really hard on herself. And so that's the thing that was so shocking to me and really revolutionary to me. I was like, oh, so that means that it's not about getting the next job or the next guy or the next woman or the next thing in our lives. That's not where it lies at all. It really is about cultivating a nurturing and loving relationship to ourselves, because that really is the most important relationship in our life, is our relationship with ourselves. And so when I began really seeing how this was an epidemic, and it happens for men too, by the way. I don't want to exclude men. Men are really hard on themselves as well. And there's something really specific going on with women right now around this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it points to what, you know, we've heard from this introduction here, from what you're leaning into, is about this feminine power that we all have and about how we've been really strengthening our man powers, so to speak, our masculine energy, and then devaluing these beautiful feminine powers that we have available to us at all times. And so that's part of the pathway. It's part of getting back in balance as women and saying, oh, receiving is a power. Oh, my intuition is a power. Oh, you know, being in a state of being and pausing is powerful. That's one of the entryways into it.
Mm. Wonderful. And I'd love to, later in the call, perhaps just the things that you just mentioned in terms of the sources of our feminine power, where we can begin to tap into that. I'd love to go into that with you a little bit later on as well.
Yeah.
But it's so here's the thing. We all have this idea in our minds that if I only got that, then I would be enough, have enough,
right.
feel like
right.
I was worthy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we all have it. And so the idea is to let that lie go. I call it one of the big fat lies.
Mm-hmm.
The big fat lies that we've been believing as women is that if I just get that thing, whatever that thing is for you, then I'm going to be enough. And there's a completely different way of being, which is saying, I'm enough and I'm going to go and pursue these things for fun, for joy, to have the experience of enthusiasm in our lives, to really dive into that space of beingness and coming from I'm enough and going into the world to get things and pursue things and get a great new car and know that that's fun for a little bit. It's not about also saying, you know, I don't want any of those things. No, go for it. But it's just, I'm tired of women putting their self-esteem, their self-love, and their self-worth in the getting of things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not, you know, our self-worth, our self-love, our self-esteem is not for sale anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on the table anymore as, okay, if this guy loves me, then that means I'm enough. If I get this job, then that means I'm enough. It's just that it's a myth, and it's a dangerous equation to be playing. So that's why when I'm coaching women, whether, you know, one-on-one or in groups, it's about cultivating the spirit of I'm enoughness and then going out in the world. And so entry points into that are things like having a daily practice, are things like, you know, I really believe in the power of affirmations and gratitude statements and really getting into that state of being and tapping into our inner wisdom, because we all have that, you know, inner wisdom inside of us, that wise woman inside of us that's whispering, you're fabulous, you are enough, of course you're good. And when we get in tune with her, we make a completely different choice. It's like putting different gas in the gas tank, so to speak. It's running on a completely different fuel than what we've been accustomed to running on.
So what do you think is driving this sort of intense way that we push ourselves? You know, obviously underneath it, there's a, you know, there's this deep sense of self-doubt. There's an emotional insecurity.
Yeah.
There's a feeling of helplessness if we're not in a relationship with a man. There's a, you know, there's a doubt in our capacity to rise up and meet the challenges of life. There's a certain ambivalence as to whether we can handle the responsibilities.
Right.
There's a sort of tension between our desire to give and then our need to support ourselves.
Yeah.
So in the face of those challenges, what I'm hearing you say is like where we go to try and, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know, it's our own internalized pull yourself up by your bootstraps
right. Yeah.
way of relating is to be very, very hard on ourselves. And it's like, why is that so problematic?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that I think that we have this voice, and I like to call her the inner mean girl, that inner critic. I like to call her the inner mean girl for women, A, because it evokes a sense of playfulness about it. It's like, oh, the inner mean girl, there she is again. And for some people, it's the inner sad girl or the inner disappointed girl. She comes in all different versions. But, you know, the inner mean girl voice, we think that if we're just hard enough on ourselves that it's going to motivate us. And the danger there is that it can motivate us into action, of course, but that come from never leads to fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And so there's this other way of being, this space of coming from intuition. I call it intuitive action. Coming from intuition, coming from inspiration. When we come from that space, we get completely different results. That's really where the magic happens.
Right. So we're trying to control.
Yeah.
It's this sort of, it's in many ways this sort of masculine path of trying to force, to try to control.
Right.
To try and push ourselves.
Right.
To be able to deal with these, very, very normal challenges. And I just loved what you said at the beginning, is just to know that all of us, it's not just, any one of us personally because we're not enough, but collectively, we all have self-doubt. We all have emotional insecurity. We all feel like we are not enough to meet the challenges of our lives.
Yeah.
And so it's like where we need to go to be able to respond is to tap into this deeper source of wisdom and knowing and strength.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I have this little three-step process that I'll offer your audience here that has been just developed over the last 10 years of coaching. Mm-hmm. I wanted to develop something for women when they're in that moment of feeling like they're being really hard on themselves, when they're in a moment of feeling any negative emotion, that means the inner mean girl is up. That means the inner critic is up. The saboteur inside us is up telling us something. And I really do call it big fat lies because they're lying to us about something.
Mm-hmm.
So in those moments of overwhelm, in those moments of beating yourself up, to just stop and ask, what is my inner mean girl saying? And really get her voice or his voice. It could be a male voice for some people. Getting that inner critic's voice and labeling, what is that person saying? One of, I had a client once, her inner mean girl would say to her, you're unlovable all the time. That was her inner mean girl's story. That was her inner mean girl's racket, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? I mean, telling yourself all the time on a daily basis over and over again, I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable, I'm unlovable. Horrible things that make me want to cry whenever I say it. So she would tap into that and say, oh, what's my inner mean girl saying? I'm unlovable. And then in that moment, you close your eyes, you take a deep breath, and you ask, what does my inner wisdom know? And what this particular client got was, I'm lovable. I am absolutely lovable. And sometimes it's as clear as that. It's the exact opposite. Sometimes it's a wake-up call from your inner wisdom, that space of what my inner wisdom knows is, sweetie, you got to put down the drink or the cookie or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a hard truth, too. It can be a wake-up call, but it's from that inner wisdom space. And then once you've identified that inner wisdom, then you do a physical gesture, a movement, to lock in that inner wisdom. So for my client, it was tapping on her heart. And so she would repeat back, I'm lovable, I'm lovable. And she'd repeat it back out loud while doing that physical gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And that would then lock that in. And so as she began to do this practice on a daily basis, it's something you can do internally, it's something you can say externally, it's something you can do with a witness or with a partner. When you do that three-step process, so again, step one, what is my inner mean girl saying? Step two, close your eyes, deep breath, what does my inner wisdom know?
Mm.
Step three, lock it in with a physical gesture. What will start occurring, this physical gesture piece, is a neuro-linguistic programming technique. So it's adding that physical element in to lock it in. And then what can even happen is that you can just do the physical gesture. You're in a meeting, and you can't stop and do the three-step process.
Mm-hmm.
You just tap on your heart. You do the little wave of the hand. You tap your knee, whatever it is, and boom, you just feel that connection to your inner wisdom.
Mm.
And so that process in particular has been really helpful for my clients, and I just want to gift everyone with that because it can be really, really powerful for people so that they can start getting that inner critic voice in as a background, as the voice that doesn't make decisions anymore and tap into the inner wisdom, because that's the space that I want everyone and every woman to be making her decisions from. When we do that, our lives change. And I mean, my life has completely changed, Claire.
You want to share about that? Like, where did you really become aware of this in yourself and what really opened up?
Well, and I know that you and I have talked about this. So I have a 2.5-year-old little girl. And when she was born, my inner mean girl got really, really loud. And I think probably a lot of moms on the phone can relate to those, you know, the first few weeks of having a new baby and the terror of going, no, really, someone's life depends on me. Very different feeling than anything I've ever experienced.
Wow.
And the love and the fear, like the as much as the intensity of the love was met by this intensity of complete fear and anxiety for me. Because I just was like, oh, I got to do this right. So my inner mean girl started saying things to me like, you're screwing up. You don't know how to do it. You know, I was struggling with nursing. I remember this. I was writing about this the other day for my book, and I remember this moment when I had like 2 hours of sleep, and I had cabbage leaves on my boobs because I had an overabundance of milk, so I was having engorgement all the time, and cabbage leaves is this kind of homeopathic way of getting the milk supply down a little bit. And actually, it does work, ladies. So if any of you are about to have a baby, it does actually work. So I have cabbage leaves in my bra, you know, and I have this baby, and I have 2 hours of sleep. I'm a total mess, spit up all over me, you know. And my dog looks up at me, my little sweet mutt dozer, as if to say, how about a walk, Mom? Hey, Mom, you want to go on a walk? You know, and I'm like, hey, two dozer, like, what? I'm like, oh, my gosh, not be pulled in another direction. Please, you know. I was just like, oh, my gosh, and the dog needs to be walked. I can't do it. So, you know, it was these intense times in our life, right, when we feel this sense of overwhelm and overwork and exhaustion, and my inner mean girl was just running the show. She was, you know, saying, you're failing. Oh, if someone else was Annabella's mom, she would know how to nurse right away. You know, if Bella had a better mom, she wouldn't be, you know, crying. She would be sleeping through the night by day three. What's your problem? You know, she's just, you know, wreaking havoc on my life, my inner mean girl. And I thought, wait a minute. Okay. Time to walk your talk. I'd been coaching for, you know, parents for years about taking me time, about self-care, and da-da-da-da. And then there I am in the moment going, sweetie, time to practice what you preach. And so I really had to make the decision and get quiet with myself, tune into my inner wisdom and say, what's the truth here? What do I know? And here's a few things that I learned. The first was, I am Annabella's mom. She's never going to have another mom besides me. She'll have other people that influence her, but I'm her mom. She chose me. So she doesn't know. She's never been nursed by anybody else. She doesn't know if I'm doing it, quote, unquote, right. You know, so here I am in this moment. And the other thing that I knew is that I had a decision to make as a parent if I was going to be a parent ruled by fear and anxiety or a parent that really leaned into love. And so I chose, I'm going to love, and whenever that feeling of anxiety or worry comes up for my daughter, I say, wait a minute, let me just love her. And then I step into the, you know, I turn on the light of love, and that makes the inner mean girl and the fear dissipate for me. So I'll just go into this appreciation, because you cannot worry and love at the same time. It's just completely opposite spectrums of emotions. And so often we collapse that in as women and as parents, saying, oh, it's my job to worry about my child. Well, no, it's actually your job to love your child. And so that's when this really started to become, like, go to a whole new level for me, was when I became a mom. And then I started really saying, okay, I need to cultivate a daily practice. And I had been experimenting and toying with and, like, kind of walking around the edges of having a daily practice for many, many, many years of my life. And I'll be 100% honest, it's not till last year that I really said, I am committed. This is my commitment to myself. This is my gift. And I began doing a practice. And for me, it is about sitting. I have a meditation chair that I sit in, and I have different audios that I listen to. And my two and a half year old knows not to bother me during that time. She can even be in the room and say, "Mommy's meditating." She knows.
Mm.
And so that practice, and I mean, that has just led me to understand my inner wisdom and to understand my intuition and to take actions that have led me to being on this call today.
Mm.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
I connected with you, Claire, which was a total gift for me.
Mm.
Connected with Marianne Williamson and Sark and Lisa Nichols and all these women that I admired. I got the idea for the Women Masters on a run that I did when I said, I want to know what I'm supposed to do next. And by
right.
the end of that run, I had my answer. I'm going to do this Women Masters series. And that series changed my life.
Well, that's such a powerful point that you're making, Amy, about how we can't really get access to our deeper intuitive knowing, which is absolutely critical for us to begin to access when it comes to realizing these these higher unmanifest potentials of our creativity and our contribution, because it's like when those negative voices are in the driver's seat, there's just no access to this, this deeper co-creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly relate to your story in terms of my own journey. Definitely it's when I first started teaching and I first started stepping out there, you know, certainly those voices of I don't know enough, I don't, you know, I'm not contributing enough, I'm
right.
not creating enough value for people, you know, were all present. And you know, had I aligned with those voices, I certainly would not be, you know, able to make the contribution that I'm able to and how my life has unfolded. And it's exactly what you're saying, that gives access to that deeper possibility is to recognize that that's a voice of a particular part of the self, and it's not really the truth, and to begin to align with the truth. I just started to say, you know what, there's still things that I might have to learn, but I'm interested in learning, and it's not about me being perfect. It's about me contributing my gifts as much, you know, to the best of my ability.
Yes.
And continuing to learn and grow and develop myself, you know, in the face of that. And it really occurred to me, just as you were speaking, the moment that we step up to something big and stand for something big in our lives, which, you know, is really the calling that we're all feeling, is to really step up and get inside the biggest game, that's really the moment when we're going to be most vulnerable
yes.
to the attack of these old voices. And how this particular, you know, the cultivation of this particular capacity is critical to the fulfillment of really, you know, the potentials that we sense for our lives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like when my clients come to me and say, wow, my inner mean girl, my inner critic, my saboteur has really come up strong. And I'm like, oh, good, that means you're up to something new. How exciting
something
is
big. It's like really this
yeah.
response to not knowing what to do. And
yeah.
I think that the thing for us to get is just how normal that is and
it
the time
is so
that we're living
normal.
In.
Oh my gosh. And I mean, you've talked to, I mean, right, through this series, you've talked to some of the most amazing women on the planet, our leaders on the planet. And I mean, anybody can watch Oprah and hear her talk about her doubts, her fears, how she
right.
handles her stress, right? And I think she's such a symbol of that, of being honest and authentic with, hey, this is a struggle. This is part of the human condition. And it's about not letting it stop you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about not letting that inner critic or inner mean girl make your choices anymore. Because she just makes yucky choices, man. She just wants to keep you small and comfortable. And it is about stepping up and stepping out and taking risks and playing big. It absolutely is about that. And so there can be a sense of excitement when she comes up really strong, when that voice comes up strong, because you really do know, oh, I'm doing something new. Oh, I'm taking a risk here. Oh, great. And then it's about noticing it and saying, what does my inner wisdom know? What does my higher self know? What does my wise woman know? Whatever term works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And really tuning into that and getting her opinion. Because she'll have a completely different opinion about it, all of it.
Well, I love those questions. I think they're just wonderful. And that kind of brings me, I think, to one of the next questions that I wanted to ask you, which has to do with, you know, so in this identifying with and not aligning with the inner mean girl, as you're calling that voice inside of us, what's to stop us kind of swinging to the other extreme of kind of perceiving ourselves as All good. So it's like, I certainly see this movement in myself, and certainly many, many, women is a very, very collective thing of this sort of black and white thinking of going from either I'm really a bad person and I'm a terrible person, or I'm failing, to the opposite extreme, which is where many of us go in an attempt to avoid this sort of negative self, voices of self-judgment.
Right.
We go to this opposite extreme of, I'm all good, I'm perfect just as I am, I don't need to change at all, which if we really get related to the larger context of our evolving human condition, you can kind of see that the truth is we are, imperfect works in progress, and all of us have places, where we need to develop and where we need to grow that are critical to realize our higher potentials and contributions. So what's the way out of, going from the sort of all good to all bad that's actually going to give us access to a real path of development and self-support?
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great, great question, and I love it. I love that we can point to getting out of the land of black and white, good or bad, and say life exists in the gray, because it really does. And the thing that I love about tuning into your inner wisdom is that your inner wisdom isn't always going to be saying things like, you're perfect just as you are, all is well. Your inner wisdom, you're tapping.
So that's not your inner wisdom if you hear that voice in response.
Yeah, well, and in moments we may need to be reminded of that, right? I mean, our inner wisdom can say that, but our inner wisdom will also tell us, why I'm called the wake-up call coach and why I called my company Wake-Up Call Coaching. Our inner wisdom can also offer us a major wake-up call of like, sweetie, it's time to leave him. Information you do not want to hear. Your inner wisdom can also say, hey, you screwed up. You need to go and make amends. You need to ask for forgiveness now. So that's the thing, is that our inner wisdom will feed us the truths that we need to hear when we need to hear them. And so when you take the time to have a daily practice, when you take the time to get in the state of being, you will be led into different areas by your inner wisdom where the truth exists. So it's not about going into ego. And in fact, I would say, I had this client once, and I think this is a great example, whose inner mean girl, what she would do is say, you're so much better than everyone else. She would do the comparison thing, but my client would end up on the winning end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really interesting, because she was like, well, no, I mean, I think I'm really great. I mean, I'm way better than so-and-so. And I was like, oh, yeah, sweetie, that's your inner mean girl.
Mm-hmm.
That game, that comparison game, you will always lose, whether you're on the winning end or the losing end, so to speak. Whether you're comparing and making yourself feel less than, or comparing and making yourself feel more than. That's an inner mean girl. That's an inner critic game. Because what is she doing? She's making it so you never have to be vulnerable. She's making it so you never feel connected to anyone. Mm-hmm. She's making you feel really alone because you're so superior. That's ego. And so when we got into her inner wisdom, it was about vulnerability. It was about getting out of that comparison game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about, if you go into the land, and I've had a lot of people say, I'm afraid if I let go of that ambition, if I let go of being hard on myself, I'm never going to get anything done.
That's very true.
Right? There's a whole other way of
existing. If I let go of trying to control myself and everyone else and everyone in life.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole other way of existing. There's a way of being fueled by inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way in taking actions through intuition and saying, oh, that's something I really want to do. And it's a completely different way of being, and it's really revolutionary for you to say, oh, I need to go take that class and put that student hat on. I need to go and listen to this teacher. I need to be on the Women on the Edge of Evolution call today, right, so that we can come together collectively so I can learn in that spirit of growing. But it's a different come from, and it's not just about staying stagnant. It is about growing. And so everybody's path is so individual, and so I invite everyone listening to really tune into your inner wisdom, even just right here and now, to just close your eyes and take a deep breath and just see what your inner wisdom has to offer you today.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she asking you to grow? What inspired action is she asking you to do? What wake-up call does she have for you today? And we can tune into her anytime we choose, because she's always there for us. It's the divine within. It's the God within. It's the light within. Whatever term works for you, she's there. And it is about tuning into her and getting into the gray area and getting into the authenticity of life and the space of inspiration and the space of liberation from this world where you think you're either good enough or not good enough or better than or less than, but just the space of truth. And that is my wish for everyone on this call or listening to this recording, is to be able to really tap into that. Because I don't know the message your inner wisdom wants for you, but you do. She knows. Great.
Thank you. Well, I love this point that you were making earlier about how often when we do tap into our inner wisdom, what we are confronted with is the truth and the reality of the situation, which often we've been defending against with our inner criticism and making ourselves wrong.
Right.
And, you know, the second part of today's topic and having the courage to act on it, again, is like another point where we feel that insecurity come up.
Yeah.
So what would you say, you know, what would you say to women who are listening who do, you know, who might tap into that deeper wisdom and then maybe be frightened by what they discover?
Yeah.
How do we access the courage to then be able to act on that and to live it?
Yeah. Well, I think there is a space when you tap into that truth and you hear the truth of your inner wisdom and you're called forth. to do something or to be something or to step up in some way, there is that, it does take courage to follow it. And what I always like to say is, don't worry, it'll get louder. If you don't have the courage right then, don't worry, sweetie. Your inner wisdom's not going to give up on you. So let's relax and say, oh boy, okay, you know. And
ignoring my inner wisdom is not an option. It's not going to go well. Like, that's the first thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Ignoring your inner
wisdom.
Skipping
over that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it'll get louder. The whisper will turn into a yell.
Right.
You know. So don't worry. And the other thing I would say is that get some support. Get some support. And, you know, the cafe that you're doing after this call, great place to be speaking with other women about getting support.
Mm-hmm.
Go and get into I'm involved with three different mastermind scenarios. We call them, my friend Christine and Arilo and I call it Femma Mind, because we feel like the master feels so masculine. So get support. Surround yourself with people that are up to big things too.
Mm-hmm.
Get a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Get a coach. Join a coaching group. Get a group of girlfriends together and meet for coffee once a month where you talk about the big things that you're up to in your life.
Mm.
Support is so important when you're just making the decision to really go for the highest calling in your life, which is really where your inner wisdom is going to take you.
Right.
So, I just cannot emphasize enough how much support means.
Yeah.
When you're operating in this land, because you need someone by your side saying you're going to be able to do it. You know, my husband is I just adore my husband. He's just the best person I've ever met in my entire life, which is why I married him. And you know, we have this. We really are safe harbors for each other with the big things that we're up to in the world. My husband's a musician and an artist and the most talented person I've ever met. Just extraordinary. And you know, I think he's the bee's knees. He thinks I'm the bee's knees. So we married each other, which was really great. And then, you know, and so we have this support thing where if I'm having a really hard day, if my inner mean girl is coming up, right, because of course I coach and write about and teach about what I need to learn, of course, right? And so I'll call him and say, honey, can you say, and I'll just give him a script, can you tell me that I'm really doing a great job and that, you know, my voice is being heard and that I'm making a difference for people. And I'll just literally give him a script and then he'll repeat it back. Sweetie, you are doing a great job. you absolutely are making a difference for people. Your voice is being heard. You're doing great. And then he'll usually add on a couple things. And I'll do the same for him. You know, he'll say, can you just tell me? And we've built that into our marriage to have that support system.
Well, to be the mirrors for each other. Because often,
right.
You know, when we can't actually hold that space for ourselves, that's really where we need support.
Yeah.
Is when we're navigating these points of showing up and playing a big game, that there are points of vulnerability where we need that partnership and mirroring and reflection.
That's right.
So I think that's, yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
On in terms of you know, if you do feel in the process of being, you know, accessing your deeper wisdom and then, you know, are kind of a bit overwhelmed, it really is this issue of having more support than to be able to have the courage. But I love what you said in terms of getting that the voice will get louder. It's not something that's going to go away, so we need to develop capacities to be able to act on that deeper wisdom so that we can actually just become more powerfully generative of our lives and our future.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, the other thing that I really like, the game that I kind of like people to play when they've gotten information about, you know, an action a truly inspired action, an intuitive action, or, you know, some sort of risky, it feels really risky, you know, you're in that land of gulp. Okay, I'm going to do it, you know.
The land of gulp. I love that, Amy.
You know, when you're in that
space. Well named.
Yeah. So when you're in that space, the thing that I want to say is go through and say, what's the worst case scenario? Let's just get it in the room. Let's name the elephant in the room. What's really the worst case scenario? And just play it out. Like really go down that tube of like what's the absolute worst thing that can happen? And then, after you've really gotten that out in the room, ask yourself, well, could I handle that? And 99.9% of the time, you're going to say, well, yeah, I actually could. Because your inner mean girl is going to make you think you're going to die if you take this risk. And usually, you know, maybe except for 0.1% of the time, that's just not the truth.
Right.
So get it out in the room and then ask, what's the best thing that could happen? And run that scenario in your mind and just play out that fantasy for a moment. And when you've gotten that and you've realized, I could handle both of those things. And by the way, sometimes the best case scenario is more scary than the worst case because it means, oh, I could be that. I could be that big. Oh, my gosh, I could be that magnificent. I could be that fabulous, as I like to say. And just breathe those in. And then you can say, okay, I'm making an informed decision here. I'm going to go for it because I can handle the best case and the worst case, and I'm willing to risk it. That can be a really powerful tool. I know when I was recently on TV on ABC, I had to do that for myself. I was like, what's the worst thing that can happen, Amy, from taking your message on TV? And I was like, well, I guess I could just freeze. Nothing can come out of my mouth. Okay, so I look like a total idiot. Okay, can I handle that? Well, I'd be really embarrassed. Okay, well, what else would happen? Well, I don't know, maybe I'd never get invited back on that show. Maybe I'd never get another TV spot ever as long as I live. Okay. What else? Okay, well, I guess that's kind of it. That would be the fallout. Okay. I'd still come home and have my husband and my daughter who love me and my family who loves me and all these great clients who love me. And okay, I guess I could handle it. And what's the best thing? Oh, I could have a great clip to put on my website. Oh, I could really, like, actually make a difference for someone watching. And so after I ran those two things, then I was like, okay, I'm going to go do this thing. And it went great. It went really great. I was very nervous. Most people, my mom was like, I couldn't tell you were nervous at all. And I was like, well, that's good. Right? But I had to run those worst and best case scenarios to just calm myself down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I really appreciate your transparency. And so that's really what we experience. And so it's really not a testament of our evolution that those voices that come up. It's really a testament of our evolution that we really learn how to respond in ways that don't let them stop us or hold us back from this big calling.
That's right.
That is upon us right now.
That's right. I love the way that you said that, Claire. That's just beautiful. And it is the human experience.
Yeah.
And I think in particular for women, we there's just a lot of expectations being put on women right now, isn't there?
Really?
On men too, but man, I mean, it's just, you know, when you look at just where women have come in the last 100 years, it's really quite amazing the freedoms that we have now. I look at my daughter and I think, wow, what's in store for you, sweetie?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to feel when you're my age? You know, wow, I just can't. It's unimaginable, isn't
it? It is unimaginable.
It's unimaginable, the opportunity. I mean, my goodness, we're just, you know, we're so fortunate in that way, and I really hope and pray, and my wish for my daughter is that I can model the space of being present, mm-hmm. and I can model getting, you know, having that balanced feminine and masculine energy for her. Because I do. I have a lot of ambition. I have a lot of, you know, I was a really good student, you know, and I knew how to get the A's. And I, you know, like I was really brought up that way. And that was a real gift and also has a cost to it. And so it is about finding that gray area. I'm really, again, you know, teaching what I want to learn. So,
well, and I love what you're saying about feeling this calling to rise up and be a model, because, you know, one of the frames we really use for our own work is just, you know, we really are the first, amongst the first, for many of us the first, some of us in more privileged situations might be the second generation, but definitely the first generations of women who really have been freed up from the task of just surviving and procreation and just, you know, taking care, that we actually have the privilege of being able to engage our inner development.
Yes.
And, you know, for every other generation really in history, for women, the orienting principle for life is like really be, if you, you know, died before your children did, were successful, you were a good mother, you won, you know, you kept your children alive, you actually sacrificed your life so that the next generation could have a better life.
Yes.
And it's inside that trajectory of sacrifice that we are the better life that thousands of generations before is sacrificed for. We are the realization of that dream. And so, you know, in having realized, particularly in the West, this sort of level of material comfort and abundance, you know, a lot of us often get kind of complacent because there's nothing bigger than ourselves to be living for.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's a time when our North Star is really shifting. And so it's like exactly what you're saying, that to honor the sacrifice, you know, of older generations, like where there is to go, and the great work of our time is to really begin to evolve these inner structures in our consciousness.
Yes.
So, you know, we often, you know, so we hear so many women say, I'm, you know, depressed, I'm unhappy, I'm anxious. It's like, well, that's the privilege of being freed up from the task of survival, that you get to feel your feelings and become aware of your inner life. And now your task is now to evolve that. So one day little girls wake up and with this just, you know, empowered relationship with themselves in a way that we wake up in our beds and go to our fridges full of food and turn on our running water.
Yes.
That's such an absolute critical task in terms of us, you know, really kind of being indebted, you know, to past generations to actually step forth and really cause that for the generations to come. Whether you have daughters, you know, like you have a daughter biologically, or you know, really just part of this larger lineage of sisterhood that we're a part of.
It's
absolutely critical.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, really, going after happiness is a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It's a luxury to be able to be that, have that as our quest.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so
I read interesting report. Sorry, Claire. I read an interesting report recently, the title of which was something like, I don't have the title in front of me, but it was like
declining levels of female happiness, right?
That's exactly it, right?
Yeah.
And so it was really fascinating to me to see how much more power we have. And then, you know, Time Magazine, the big article stated on the front a few months back, you know, women are more powerful but less happy.
Right.
And it's like, wow, man, well, if that doesn't cut through the big fat lie of if we just had enough power, we just had enough freedom, we'd be happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know or if we just had enough money, we'd be happy. I don't know what more evidence we need to get that's not what it's about.
Right.
Yeah.
So one question that I had that I was really curious about, and it was something that you said earlier, and then I want to make sure we have time to get to the feminine wisdom, the core pieces that you see about that too. Getting a handle on our inner mingle, one of the things that we are feeling and sensing is just the need for women to come together in a way we never have and support each other and get up underneath each other, particularly as you're pointing out, is this is what's required for us to be able to step forth and play a big game, is to create this level of support with each other. how is getting a handle on our own inner mean girl, you know, perhaps going to help us to have better relationships with other women? You know, girls are typically meaner to each other.
Yes, I love that.
And undermining of each other. I mean, yes. Even in corporate America, women report they'd rather have a male boss than a female boss because of the kind of competitive undermining thing that women get when they're in positions of power together under pressure, that there's a kind of superficial support, but then, you know, under pressure when you know, women, you know, don't support each other. So what's significant about what you're calling us to inside of that context as well?
Well, first I just want to acknowledge you, Claire, because I just think that you model this so beautifully. And for everyone on the call, just lifting the veil, so to speak, on Claire, she just is one of the most supportive women and supportive of other women shining their light that I've ever met in my entire life. You are just a beacon for this, Claire, and it is one of your gifts.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, and I really have been so touched by every interaction with you, of how inspired I've been of how you've been around this. So thank you for modeling it so beautifully. I've learned so much just from Skype chat that we've had together. So. And I think that's right. When, you know, I mentioned the comparison thing, and I think that whether you're on, you know, the winning, you know, saying I'm more than, or on the losing, I'm less than, that comparison thing can eat us alive as women.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because we've been so ingrained in this society that's about be thinner, more beautiful, like that competition thing about how women are supposed to look is just such a barrel of BS. I just can't even stand it. I'm just so, and I lived in LA for 13 years where it's just, I mean, my Lord, it's so, and you know, right? It's really hardcore there specifically because it's like everybody that was the prettiest girl in their town comes to LA to become a star. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, why is everyone so freaking pretty here? Like, I don't understand what's going on. So, yes, I mean, it is just, it really can be something that just eats away at us, and it's just a losing game. And so, yes, you're right. When we get a hold of our inner mean girls, and we start saying, okay, when we get that inner critic, because we're harder on ourselves than anyone else ever could be, truly. Mm-hmm. And so when we get in that that space of saying, okay, here's what my inner mean girl is saying, here's what my inner wisdom knows. When we live and come from that space and start nurturing that space and exercising that muscle of coming from there, this competitiveness, this jealousy, this game that we play as women will start dissipating, and you'll notice it in your own life. You'll start saying, oh, I'm coming more from my inner wisdom, and I'm attracting women into my experience that want me to be as amazing as I can be. I'm attracting sisters into my experience versus, you know, women that are operating on that level. And so I think it's like a there's a swelling up going on of women that really want to support other women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is about getting into women's groups with other women and really modeling that for yourself, modeling it for other women and supporting other women, and you'll start to receive it back in a big way.
Mm. And that's critical to us being able to, have the courage to have that kind of support structure, to have the courage to act on this deeper wisdom that will lead us to really the fulfillment of these greater possibilities of
absolutely.
Our lives and our contribution.
Absolutely.
And really that our world is you know yearning for us to actually step forth and say yes to playing the biggest game that we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is, you know, I remember I was in this women's group and we were all trying to, there was three of us in it at the time, and two of the three of us, myself, I wasn't at that time trying to get pregnant, but two of the other women were. It was really interesting because one got pregnant and then had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, like very shortly after that, got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real interesting experience in our group because she didn't even want to tell us that she was pregnant because she felt so bad and sad and wanted the other one to be first and wanted the other one to have this great experience, and obviously she didn't, and then she went on later and now has two gorgeous kids. But it was a really interesting experience. And so I was grateful at that moment to be able to say, ladies, this is a sacred space where we get to come and celebrate what's going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if it brings up, if someone's celebrating and it brings up jealousy or feeling bad or any of those things, I get it. And let's not let this be the space where that gets to win.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let this be the space where we get to really celebrate and be joyful for each other. And then when stuff comes up, we'll process that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like let's be disingenuous, let's be inauthentic about what's coming up for us, but let's declare that this can be a space where we celebrate for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it was hard, Claire. I mean, it was hard, especially when it comes to that and the hormones are going crazy. I mean, it was really tough. But we got through it.
Yeah.
We got through it and said, no, that's right. We take a stand for this. I'm going to stand in my higher self and say, oh, I'm so happy for you because I am. And I want this too for me. And we can be sad that I don't have it yet. But we can still stand and say, yes, I'm celebrating this with you.
Right.
And so whatever way that shows up with other women in your life, whether it's about babies or careers or lovers or husbands or whatever way it shows up, let's start taking a stand for that and stating it when we see it happening. Let's name it and say, whoa, I'm feeling that. Okay, I feel this in this space. Let's talk about it. Let's process it. Let's deal with it. And let's take a stand of saying there is a space where we can all support each other for being the light that we're supposed to be. Really important, and really important to have that built into the agreements when you're in relationships with women where you're coming together to support each other in that way. And not all relationships are up for that.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's going to be women in your life where that's not what the game that you're playing with them. That's not what that relationship is for. And please recognize that in your life. When you have relationships with women where they can't be that, and maybe it's even with family members where they can't be that for you, and that's okay. But when you create a space, so make sure that you do have spaces where you do get to be that.
Yeah.
Really important. Really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So very quickly before we take some questions from the audience, sources of feminine wisdom and power, what do you see in terms of the cultivation of feminine power? Where can we tap into this new kind of power that is so necessary for us to really thrive?
Yeah. Well, you know, you said it beautifully in the introduction for this call about the spirit of becoming and being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a real power we have as wisdom, as women, a real wisdom we have as women, is to be in that state of being and becoming versus the doing and achieving. And I think that that's a really important piece. I also think that for us to really harness our intuition and cultivate that and cultivate a relationship with our intuition and get braver about speaking our intuition to ourselves and to the world, that power in particular, it's such a beautiful gift we have as women, a beautiful gift that we often don't value or take ownership of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll invite everyone on this call and listening to the recording to really start listening to those whispers, those intuitions you have, and just start speaking them, even about little things like, oh, make a left to find the parking space, you know, or whatever. Just start doing it because you'll be amazed at what you find. You'll be amazed at the magic that occurs when you start living it and speaking it and having that be the fuel in your life. I think intuition is just such a power that we have. And the other thing is just about the power of receiving. I think that's such an important power that we have as women and that we can often not really give any weight to. There's something really beautiful about being able to receive. And because it's like when everyone's putting out and nobody's receiving, it's just like everything's bouncing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this space of receiving that can be really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And, receiving, intangible things like love or compassion or receiving forgiveness. When you start receiving more of that, you'll find that you can give more. And often we just start, Lisa Nichols put it beautifully in this call I did with her. She said, ladies, I want you drinking from the saucer I don't want you giving from a full cup. I want you giving from the saucer so that your cup is so full that it's running over. We need to be giving from the saucer, not just from the full cup. Only when you're giving over. And so the only way that we can get those cups filled is when we receive more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. So we're going to take some questions. If you have a question for Amy, you can just press star 2 if you're listening in on the phone, and we'll take your questions over the phone. If you're listening in online, you can actually just enter your question into the teleseminar window and just press enter, and we'll get that in just a moment. But before we do, Amy, where can people go to find out more about your work? I know you've created a wonderful free inspiration, Fabulous You in 30 Minutes, where there's an audio, I believe, that you can access this new kind of strength and power that you've been talking about on the call today.
Mm.
And people can get that at freeinspirationgift.com. That's freeinspirationgift.com.
Yeah.
So where else, tell us about what your projects are, what's coming up, where people can go to have a deeper experience of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I did put together that the Fabulous You in 30 Minutes kit that you can get, and there's a couple different audios. Actually, the Lisa Nichols Women Masters interview I did is part of that kit, and her interview was awesome. She's so great. And there's a visualization there and a worksheet that goes with the visualization, and there's a couple other goodies in there, so you can grab that at freeinspirationgift.com. And then my general website, my blog, and where kind of the hub for me is at wakeupcallcoaching.com, wakeupcallcoaching.com, and there's some videos there, and there's just all sorts of fun stuff there on that website. And you can subscribe to my blog and that kind of thing there. That's really the space. One of the things that I'm doing right now is I've, along with my friend Christina Rilo, who's another coach and the author of the book Choosing Me Before We, her and I have created Inner Mean Girl Reform School, as we call it, and we're actually teaching that live class right now. But we do have, if you go to innermeangirl.com, you can kind of check out that course. There is still, people can kind of come in late. We're just finished week 3, and it's a 10-week course. There's an opportunity there for that work, and we'll also be offering that in the future as kind of a home study program and kit. So that's one of the really fun things that I have going on right now is the Inner Mean Girl work with Christine. It has been really, really fun, and just many, many things to come. I have a book that I'm working on called Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves and Believe. Wake up to the truth about how fabulous you are, and hopefully that book will be coming out soon. I'm not sure when, but you guys can kind of keep an eye on that for me, and those are kind of the projects that I'm up to right now. Thanks for asking, Claire.
Well, thanks so much, Amy. I've heard just such wonderful things about your coaching and your course from people who are participating. So I want to encourage everyone to check that out and to go to freeinspirationgift.com. And that's one way that you can just download the 30-minute kit and stay in touch with Amy about all of the things that she's up to.
Mm.
If you want to find out more about our work, you can visit femininepower.com and download a free 75-minute audio called Awakening the New Feminine Power, How to Become Your Authentic Self and Co-Create the Future of Our World.
Mm.
Just visit femininepower.com to find out more about that. And each week we also want to share and shine the light on the great work and evolutionary offerings of some of our co-sponsors. And this week we want to tell you about Integral Enlightenment. Our friends at Integral Enlightenment are pleased to announce their launch of their online academy for evolutionaries. Registration is now open for their spring teleclass, Awakening to an Evolutionary Relationship to Life, starting April 17th.
Mm.
You can download a free introductory 75-minute audio seminar at integralenlightenment.com/telecourse. And I want to tell you also about Awakening the Impulse to Evolve. It's a new free online series. It's like Women on the Edge of Evolution, but includes men too. Join 18 of today's most inspired spiritual luminaries for a groundbreaking conversation on how to evolutionize your life and participate in creating the future. Presenters include Deepak Chopra, Michael Beckwith, Jean Houston, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Ken Wilber, Brian Swim, Michael Dowd, Craig Hamilton, and myself. I was just on that series last week talking about the return of the feminine. And when you register at evolutionaryspirituality.com, you can get my audio about that as well as the audios and upcoming presentations of all those other folks. Okay, great. So let's...
delicious offering of, you know, I mean, my goodness, Claire, you and I know Craig as well are just putting such amazing things out in the world, as is Catherine, and I just really am always so inspired by everything and just a beautiful blend of, you know, I know a lot of people are in challenging times right now, and so they can get gifts like this for free and all these beautiful series for free. And then if they want to go deeper, there's all these deeper offerings you offer. It's such a beautiful, delicious buffet of wonderful treats for everyone. It's great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have happened without actually being able to shift out of identifying with the voice of what you're calling the inner mean girl. So it's absolutely critical for all of it.
I know. I hear you.
So let's take some questions. We have a question here from G in MA. She says, "Hi, awesome Amy. Thank you so much. I could relate so much as a mom. Mm. My children are grown adults, but I still have those mean voices as they are so lost in the world. And it's so painful and challenging to forgive myself. My husband, who isn't their father, does tell me that I was a good mom and I did the best with the situation at hand. Yet somehow there is a big resistance. How does one handle the negative if the negative voice is so loud? There's no space to open to the acceptance of the positive. Thank you so much for creating the safe and sacred space for us to heal. Bless you all. Happy Easter."
Beautiful question. Yeah. Well, I think as a parent, you know, one of the things that I think it's important to get as a parent is that you are not your child, that this is a different soul than you on a different journey. And so you were sent to be your children's mom, G, and that you don't have control over them. That's an illusion that we create. Like, if we just did everything right, then our children will do exactly what we want them to do. And boy, do I know that's not true with a 2.5-year-old. Believe me. So I present to you just to look at the bigger picture of the evolution of your children's souls and getting that whatever gifts you've given them and whatever things that you've done quote-unquote wrong in the past for them are the things that their soul needed. So it's like, don't step into the land of ego to think that you're responsible for who your children are right now in the world. It's just not the case. Their soul is their soul, and they got what they got. And so there's a space in which I want you to give over the power to something greater than you, this source energy, the universe, God, angels, Jesus, whatever you believe in, to say, please help my child. So it sounds like there might be some struggle going on, so I offer that that to you. And then the other thing is my request is that you get quiet with yourself. And that if you don't have a daily practice that you begin, even if it just means 5 minutes with a kitchen timer set, of getting quiet and in the space of your inner wisdom, mm-hmm. because she will know what can lead you to self-forgiveness. Mm-hmm. She will know. And I encourage you to even start saying an affirmation like, I forgive myself for my past mistakes. I forgive myself. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness, because when you do, you will be an even better mom when you operate from that and modeling that for your children. Oh, my gosh, could there be a greater gift than modeling self-forgiveness? Because we all have things we're ashamed of. We all have things that we've done ways that we wish we wouldn't have. It's just part of the human experience. So I offer those things to you and hope that that helps.
Thank you, Amy. That's just a wonderful response. Thank you. So let's take a live caller here. I have someone from, East Rochester in New York. Hello.
Hello. That would be me, Sue Emmel.
Hi, Sue.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amy, for this call. And actually, beyond the inner mean girl, I'm hearing my own inner mean mother. And my mother, who had a strong voice of the inner mean mother and so did her mother. And,
I understand.
And, and when I was hearing you, I empathize 100% with your feelings as a new mother and your need to establish your boundaries as different from your daughter's once she's issued forth from the womb.
Yeah.
And that is difficult for both mother and child.
I
know it experientially as a daughter and as a mother. So I really want to extend the inner wise mother voice to you.
Oh, thank you.
Really, and really embrace you for the, I think you're having, that's the most important struggle that you're voicing, that I hear today. And I think that's a voice that all of us as women on the edge of evolution really need to cultivate, because to be a woman on the edge of evolution is to consider what have we been as wives and mothers, and what are we cultivating today, gestating within ourselves for our daughters to look forward to. So like when you ask the question, what are the pressures my daughter will feel when she grows up? In a way, she's already feeling them. She and I heard kind of an anxiety producing.
I'm just gonna sorry, Sue, if I can
just my
pause.
Question.
I'm sorry, I can just sorry, we just have a lot of people on the line wanting to ask questions. But I think the first question you asked was wonderful. I think we might go with that. It's just about, Amy, you know, we have this sort of intermingle, and many of us have the experience of having even this sort of inner mean mother voice. What would your suggestions be about that?
Yes, well, and I think that, thank you so much for everything that you said, and I really honor it, and I think it's very common for people to have the inner critic show up as a specific figure from childhood. So whether it was a brutal father or mother or a teacher or a coach of some kind, it's very, very common for that voice to be specifically modeled after someone. So I just want to let people know, very, very common, and the steps are still the same. So I encourage people to actually name their inner critic. So mine's called Negative Nelly. I mentioned one of my clients whose inner mean girl would say, you're unlovable. We called hers Loveless Lulu, and she had kind of a martini in one hand and a cigarette in the other, would be like, yeah, unlovable kid. You know, so I encourage you to actually name that voice and even draw a picture of it. See the top 10 things that person likes to say to you, because identifying what that voice is will help you identify when that voice is strong. And then, in contrast, identifying that inner wisdom's voice and getting what that looks like, personify that as well. Those two things are some really important tools for you to be able to not let that inner critic run the show anymore. So I appreciate you pointing that out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Amy. Great, great, great question. Great response. And that actually brings, that sort of segues nicely into a question here from Jenny from Denver on the webcast. She says, hi, Amy, I find that I have a whole community of inner mean girls.
Yes.
I often try to ignore them. The polar opposite, when I try to ignore one of them, the polar opposite mean personality pops up. How do I find my true self?
Yes. Oh, very common as well. I like to, when we first start doing this work in Inner Mean Girl Reform School, you know, people are like, I feel like I have multiple personality disorder because there's so many voices going on inside. And yes, that's very true as well. And especially once we kind of get the handle on how to deal with one of our inner critics, it's like they start spawning and these little baby ones are born that start coming up. So yes, very, very normal experience. And so again, the key is to get quiet, to close your eyes and say, what is my inner wisdom now? And you will find that there is that voice, and you'll know because of the way it feels. Our inner critics, our inner mean girls, those voices, there's a feeling that goes along. It's very much in your body. It can feel like anxiety. It can feel like spinning, like you're spinning out of control, like you're chasing your own tail. It can feel like that superior thing. It can feel like that really small thing. It can feel like a really mean thing. It's really about the feeling. But when our inner wisdom speaks, there is a feeling of groundedness there. There is a feeling of truth there. So you'll know your inner wisdom's voice when that feeling feels that way. So that's what I invite you to do, is to notice the way you feel. And any of those voices will feel, those negative voices will feel a certain way. Get into your body. Your body is really the source of wisdom around that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's just take another live caller here. Hello? Someone from Jewett City?
Oh, I hear someone.
Hello?
Hello? Are you there? Hello,
yes.
I'm here. I was muted, sorry.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello. This call was completely amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited, filled with gratitude, and I can't wait to follow up with all the ideas that you have given me.
Mm.
My two questions, and I had to write them down because I knew I'd be so excited if you did call me out, I'd forget what they were.
I understand.
Which would probably be the inner forget what you're trying to do voice or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I have two questions. When you were discovering your purpose,
yes.
I'm not sure if I'm using the right word, what was the question you asked?
Mm.
And I'm going to answer that and then get the second question? Or
yeah, that's perfect. So the question that I asked and that I've been working with for a while now is, what is the highest calling for my life? And really going into that question and even asking that, I like to ask that question for myself before I go into meditation and also before I exercise specifically, because exercise and when our brains get all of those lovely chemicals, they get bathed in that, that's a really great time for our inner wisdom to come through. So what is the highest calling for my life? And then I also worked that into an affirmation for myself, where I say on a daily basis, I am living the highest calling for my life. And so having the question there of and allowing that in, and also a really great question before going to sleep of saying, I am open to the highest calling for my life. What is the highest calling for my life? And letting yourself sleep on that and letting your subconscious marinate in that question will bring amazing results. Thanks for that question. It was a great question.
Thank you. I'm so excited because after this, I'm going to go trail riding on my horse and
oh, perfect.
Meditate on that question.
Yeah.
And my second question is, what coaching tips do you offer for quieting, as I abbreviated, IMG, the inner mean girl, while
yes.
listening for inner wisdom?
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean. You know what I mean. The voices that kind of pop in and you're like, maybe it's like the multiple personalities that you were just talking of.
Yeah.
So
the really, and I'll come back to this again because this tool has just been so powerful for myself and for my clients, is that three-step process.
So step
one.
Step two then, when you ask, what does my inner wisdom say, and that mean girl still kind of pokes at you.
Yeah. So I would say make sure when you ask the question that you've closed your eyes and taken a deep breath, because that is just one of the most important pieces in that equation there, in those three steps. Because I have yet truly to not had at least one response come from that question. And I would also offer you the tool of ask someone else to lead you through that process. Ask someone else to ask you, what is your inner wisdom now? And you'll be amazed at what comes out. The other tool I would give is to write. If it's not coming when you ask the question, to actually write the question at the top of a piece of paper and let your hand just write the answer. You will find that you will start channeling, truly, your inner wisdom from doing that. I even have a friend, my friend Samantha, will actually, she's right-handed, so she'll ask the question with her right hand, and then she'll let her left hand write the response. So it's like picking up a hand that she doesn't use for writing, and the responses will come. So I offer those tools to you as well.
Thank you so much. I love
my
journal
pleasure.
And ask
great
questions
question.
Like that. So I look forward to my next journaling session
Yay!
As well.
Yay! Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Okay. So we have another question here on the webcast. This is from Laurie in Boulder, Colorado. I thought I did a lot of work on myself this past year. However, I'm still struggling with self-esteem and low energy and discipline struggles. What suggestions would you have for pushing forward and boosting self-esteem? My saboteur tells me I'm not smart enough and I'm not strong enough.
Great. Yeah, well, first I want to say that you did do a lot of work on yourself this last year, Laurie. So I just want you to hold and know and trust that you did. And I'm trusting that for you. My inner wisdom is telling me that you did. So I really want to acknowledge you for doing it, because just being in the question, just noticing, this is still part of it, is part of the work. Noticing and bringing awareness to, I'm still beating myself up. That is the work. Because part of what happens is we do this on an unconscious level. And I've often said to, a woman, when a woman is sitting in front of me, if I say, well, where are you really hard on yourself, the tears will start coming up. Even women like Claire and I and you that are on this path, it's still a question. There's still work to be done. So just know you'll never get it done. There's always a place for growth. There's always an edge that we're working. So I first just want to acknowledge that you have done work and acknowledge that there's still growth, just like me, too. I'm still in the midst of this, and I've been doing this type of work for the last 10 years, so I really acknowledge that. Then the second thing that I would say is I really want to encourage you to begin your day by starting with what you love about yourself. And I think that self-love, it really is a practice. And we throw around these terms like self-love and self-esteem and self-worth, and sometimes we don't even really look at, well, what does that really mean to me? How do I even get in there? And so one of the things is by starting your day, you can even identify just one thing. What's one thing that you love about yourself today? And it can be, quote unquote superficial as, I have nice toes. I love my toes. I love my feet. It's true. So it can be as simple as that, or as deep as I love the way that I set up this part of my life, or I love the way that I forgave that person the other day, whatever it is. So I invite you to start your day in that way. And I also just want to say that one of the things that can really chip away at our sense of self-esteem and self-confidence and self-belief and self-love is by making agreements with ourselves and then not holding them. And it's really, really important, because we start making these agreements with ourselves, like, I'm going to meditate every single day. I'm going to exercise every single day. You know, like these things.
For 2 hours at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'm going to sit and do this. You know, and we say these things to ourselves internally.
Yeah.
And then we sell ourselves out. We let ourselves down. We don't follow through. And so I want to bring your awareness, and I invite everybody on this call to bring your awareness and bring mindfulness about what you're saying to yourself, what you're promising yourself you're going to do for yourself. And don't take it lightly. If you say, I'm going to work out every day, please follow through on it. And I invite you to actually say, I'm going to work out one day this week. And then if you work out every day, awesome. But start with baby steps so that you can
don't make commitments that you can't keep.
That's
to
right.
Yourself.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right. So start with a baby step. So if you're someone that's meditating 5 minutes every day, great. Then maybe you up it to 6 minutes. Great. You know, start being really mindful, because we can make these agreements with ourselves and then we just continuously let ourselves down. So I encourage you to take baby steps and to become mindful about what you're agreeing to do for yourself. And to really, it's like, what can you count on yourself for? And answer that question from a space of honesty and authenticity and without shame. It's okay if you're not able to meditate an hour each day. It's okay. What can you do? What can you count on yourself for? So I offer that sense of mindfulness around that. And that can be a real edge for you right now. And it's something that I work with all the time as I try to up the ante on things for myself.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Amy. It's been an absolute pleasure and delight and education and inspiration to be with you this morning.
Oh, it's been the same for me. What a beautiful, sacred space that you've created, Claire, and I just want to thank each and every person on the live call today for being here and showing up. I can feel your energy. I'm receiving it, And all of you listening to the recording later, I'm receiving your energy as well for time, you know, many, many years to come. So thank you all so much for showing up. And Claire, thank you so deeply for the invitation. I just have loved this discussion and love the depth of the discussions you're leading.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's just been, this is just so important. I can't even begin to. I mean, that thing I said before, and all that I've been able to create and catalyze, and certainly with Craig as well, it's, you know, what we're called to is to bring forth things that have never existed before into the world. That's really the calling of this high co-creativity.
Yeah.
And the task of our lives has to do with navigating our way to a destination and a future that doesn't yet exist. And that's going to involve us being confronted with a lot of uncertainty. And I've never really known what I was doing most of the time in the process of,
yeah,
of
right.
creating. Mm-hmm. And I think for us to really, really get that having this kind of empowered relationship with uncertainty, with not knowing, with not having to have everything figured out, but to say, you know what, yes, I'm enough and I'm ready. This is what Marianne Williamson was saying around her Sister Giant event. You know, we need to get to this point where we can be like, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm enough, and I'm ready now. And we're going to give up getting ready to be ready. Living our A life and make our A contribution and actually say, you know, I'm ready now. All these voices of fear, insecurity, and doubt, like, that's it. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to align with them. There's too much at stake for me personally. There's too much stake for us collectively. And I'm going to rise up and sidestep and really and tap into that deeper wisdom and really have the courage to powerfully act on it.
Yes, and I want to remind everyone as we end too that when you do that, it's really fun.
And a whole other energy of support and inspiration.
It's so fun. And you become this magnet for inspiring people. And you become, like, you feel more alive than you've ever felt. So this journey, this calling forth that Claire's doing, that I'm doing, that all of these women are doing for you, it's about ease and joy and fun and inspiration and feeling alive. It's so fun. So come with us. Come on board.
Absolutely.
Join the party.
So, Amy, just one more time. Where can people go to find out more about your work, to actually have the opportunity to be with you in Inner Mean Girl Reform School? I know and everything else that you're offering and these wonderful structures that you're creating for us to really deepen and embody all the things we've been talking about today on the call.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so please go and pick up my Fabulous You in 30 Minutes kit at freeinspirationgift.com. That's something I put up especially for all of you women on the edge of evolution. And then you can visit my main website and blog at wakeupcallcoaching.com.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Amy, and have a beautiful Saturday with your little girl and
your wonderful husband.
And look forward to being with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Much appreciated.
Much love. Okay, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to transition into the Evolutionary Cafe in just a few moments. If you want to join us to dive deeper with other women who've been listening to today's dialogue, you'll need to register for a PIN. You receive the access call, all the instructions, about how to do that in the email confirmation that we sent you for today's call. You can do that right now. But as we move forward, we want to invite you to join us in building this global evolutionary sisterhood. We're nearly close to 50,000 women standing with and for each other in the realization of our highest potentials and greatest contributions to co-creating the future of our world. If you're inspired by the potential for this momentous gathering, and we want to invite you to share the details about this free series with all the women in your life. And if you're interested in diving deeper into the conversation online, be sure to join our Facebook group. Just go to facebook.com and search for Feminine Power Global Community, or click on the link in the email that we sent you for today's call. And if you found this audio or in some hidden corner of the Internet, or somebody forwarded it on to you and you'd like to listen to all the other dialogues in the series, you can visit womenontheedgeofevolution.com and sign up. And finally, I want to thank all our team at Feminine Power and all the sponsors that have made this event possible, including Integral Enlightenment, Agape International Spiritual Center, Enlighten Next, Next Step Integral Hub, Humanity Unites Brilliance and the Great Integral Awakening. So next Wednesday, we will be back. I will be back with evolutionary, spiritual, integral parenting expert Miriam Martineau. We'll talk about the leading edge of raising a whole new generation of enlightened men and women. So we'll be sending you details out about that next week. But in the meantime, please, we're just going to hang up and join into the Evolutionary Cafe. And if not, have a wonderful, brilliant, and blessed day. And we look forward to being with you all again soon. So I'm just going to unmute the line so we can say goodbye. Goodbye, everyone. Have a beautiful
Bye.
Day.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye.
Aloha.